Amazing, isn't it? Hit the right button. All right, well, good morning to you again. God bless you. Thank you, folks. Good music, and I appreciate it so very much. I look around this morning, and I reminded the Kidwells, I've known for a good long while. We've done some meetings together. They sang with me in some meetings in Michigan, and I don't know where else, but some places before they came here. And so I've known them for a while, and we have a young lady sitting near the back, Kim, who grew up in Maryland with us at our former church there where I was pastor for a long time, and we're delighted to see her here. She lives here in Tampa now. And of course, my friend, Brother Joe Shelton, he and I were reminiscing a little bit this morning. The first time that I preached for him, he was pastor in Tennessee. In East Tennessee, at Double Springs Baptist Church, the second oldest Baptist church in Tennessee. If I remember right, 1780 was the organization. 1780 that church was founded. He was not the founder, by the way. But he was pastor there and had a good ministry and a successful ministry there. And the first time that he had me there, I was standing up and had just read my text and just gotten started preaching. And I was doing like I'm doing now. I had my hand in my pocket. And all at once, and there was cars parked all around the church. And all at once, there was a horn started going off that went beep, beep, beep. So somebody has hit their button, you know, that makes it do that. I've got my hand in my pocket, twiddling with my keys. And so I'm saying to myself, did I do that? So it's taken, I mean, the horn's blowing, so it's taken everybody's attention. So I stopped, and I pulled them out. I said, man, I don't know whether I did that or not. So I hit mine, and mine went off. So all at once, we had two of them going crazy. And, you know, it just does wonders for the service when you have things like that happening. But but anyway, he reminded me about that this morning. And I don't know if there's anything else memorable about that day or not. But we remember the horns blowing, and had a good time there. But anyway, I think my third time here to be with you and since Brother Shelton came to be the pastor. And by the way, I like his last name. His last name, my first name, the same. Sounds the same, spelled the same, is the same. Which makes me think he and I ought to start something, and we could call it Shelton and Shelton. But you know how men are. We'd be arguing over which Shelton was going to be first, right? So anyway, maybe we shouldn't do that. But anyway, it's great to be here. Do you have your Bible handy? All right, I want you to turn to John chapter 14, and I will read there in just a second. John chapter number 14. The pastor mentioned to you about you considering getting our newspaper coming to your mailbox, and I hope that you will do that. I'm going to kick off at the end of the month, I mean end the sword and with everybody, but I'm going to go ahead and offer it to you while I'm here today, a special Christmas New Year's subscription campaign that we're doing. And basically it's like this: if you sign up for yourself or for somebody, but if you sign up for 1 year, it's $1 a month, and you will get a paper 26 times a year. That means every other week you'll get one in your mailbox, loaded up with more things, I promise you, than you will get read, and things that you won't throw away. You'll get the Tribune, or you'll get the St. Pete Times, and I promise you, you'll throw it away before the day's done. But with the sword, you'll stack it up, because there's stuff in it you don't want to throw away, every issue. Now, for $1 a month, $12 for the year, you can get it coming to your mailbox, or you can give it to somebody. If you'll sign up for two, that is 2 years for yourself, or sign up for yourself and somebody else, you get both of those for $20. So the price comes down. I'm going to do something really crazy and add a third unit, third element to it. If you sign up for three, I mean if you sign up for yourself for 3 years, or if you sign up for yourself and for a family member and a friend, three different addresses, whatever, You may do those three for just $25. So it'll come down to only $8 per subscription for the entire year. Now, somebody's going to come around to me later and say, how do you do that? We raise money outside the subscription price to be able to do that. But we keep the price low so that everybody can do it. And so I want you to get it, and I hope that you will. And Betty and I will be back at the book table back there, and you can bring that envelope back there, put your name and address on it. If you're giving it to somebody else, just go out to the side of where you put yours, put another name and address, put another name and address, as many as you want to do that way, and at the price that I quoted you. And we will get it rolling. We're going home tomorrow, and so we will get it entered probably by Tuesday, and then the very next issue will come to your mailbox. There are people that you want to influence, family members and others, that maybe have no input whatsoever. Send them the Sword of the Lord, and we'll go see them every other week, and we'll see if we can have some influence on them. And there's, you know, a lot of the public officials in our cities, you know, we whine and cry and carry on about all the goofy things that they do, and a lot of them do only what they've been advised to do. They haven't had any input from any other source. And so maybe you can help some of them as well. So if you got any questions, Betty and I'll be back there at the table. We'll be glad to help you. Now, John chapter 14, and I want to give you just a little statement so that you'll understand where we're headed here, but I'll begin in a moment with verse number 1. But you'll remember that this is just a few days prior to all of the events related to the crucifixion. And you'll understand that the people who were close to Jesus were getting very nervous, because he had already begun to say to them that he wasn't going to be around forever, that he was going to be leaving them. And they're getting concerned about it, as you can imagine. And so here's what he says to them. Chapter 14 of John's Gospel and verse number 1, Jesus said to his very close, intimate disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest." Now, let me back up. I missed verse 4. "And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, if you look at verse number 1, Jesus said to them, "Don't let it trouble you." Whatever trouble comes, don't let that trouble trouble you. Don't be living with a troubled heart. Now, we quote this passage a lot in times of sorrow. In fact, the likelihood is most of the times when you've heard it mentioned, it has been at a funeral or at some time when there was some heavy burden of sorrow. And I will tell you right up front, it is an appropriate passage. I have used it many times in standing by the side of someone who is in heavy sorrow over the loss of a loved one, and it is a very great passage for that. In fact, just a few weeks ago, three months ago now, when my own dad went to heaven and I stood to give the message at his funeral, I read this very passage and preached a portion of it, and everything that I'd ever told other people about the depth and the beauty and the comfort of it was altogether true, I discovered for myself. But what I also discovered was I hadn't told them near enough, because there was much more for it than I had ever imagined in my own time of sorrow. So time of sorrow, it's a good time to use it. There are other times when people have struggles and difficulties in their life, things that they just simply cannot imagine that it has come to them, it has happened to them. They cannot figure out how to deal with the issues that they're facing in their life. And once again, if you have complex issues in your life, I recommend that you dig in right here that you just, just hollow you out a spot and plan to live in it for a while. And God will guide you. He will comfort you. He will coach you. He will give you what you need in the process of the struggle. It is a good passage for the struggle. But there is a more primary application for the passage, I think, and that has to do with our service for the Lord and how we function in a world that is going crazy and how we stay true and how we do what we ought to do even when others do not. And whenever we can't imagine that we're going to be working and serving in this particular kind of a dilemma, and Jesus said to them, don't you be troubled about it. And then he gave them some ideas and gave them some reasons about how to manage in the time of this that was coming when he would no longer be with them. And here's what he told them. Number one, he said, you do believe in God. You do believe in God. Now, whenever we talk about believing in God, we're not talking about some little statue that has been carved out of gold or wood, that has been shaped and made out of gold or brass or something. We're not talking about some man-made icon whenever we talk about God. When we talk about God, we're talking about God who is the Almighty. We're talking about the God who is the God of creation. We're talking about God of whom the Bible itself says, in the beginning, God.
Amen.
God created, that verse says, the heavens and the earth. And he did it not by taking 99 forevers, but he did it by just looking into space and saying, you know, let there be light, let there be a world, let there be a moon, let there be a planet, by his spoken word.
Amen.
He formed and created entire universes. So I'm talking about not just the power that we become accustomed to, but I'm talking about the great power of God, the Almighty. On Monday, was it, we saw the shuttle go off? Was it Monday this week the shuttle went off? Betty and I were over in Orlando and preached a revival meeting at Tabernacle Baptist Church there in Orlando. And when I was there 2 years ago, preached a revival meeting there 2 years ago, the shuttle went off. And I stood there on the parking lot and watched it 30 miles away, but you can see it as clear as day. And Betty had not seen it, and so we managed to get out there at 2:30, right at the time that it took off, and we were standing there in that thing. Do you realize that was 27,000 pounds of payload on that thing? And the fuel, just to fill up the gas tank on that thing to take off, just the fuel cost $500,000. Now you thought your little Pinto costing you something to fill it up, your Taurus or whatever. Now, I stood there on the parking lot and watched that thing take off, and they tell me that if you get over around Titusville, get within 5 miles of the place, that you can feel the vibrations, and at night it lights up the city of Titusville if it takes off at night. Now, I've not seen that. One of these days, Lord willing, we'll be over there when it takes off at night. But you know, all of that, I mean, I'm amazed at that. I'm still amazed that we sent guys to the moon and got them back in one piece. I'm amazed at that. But it's nothing in comparison to the God who looked out into space and said, I want a planet right there. And what Jesus is saying is that you and I should not allow our heart to be eroded and to be ruptured with trouble because we do believe in God.
Amen.
Who is the all-powerful, the omnipotent God.
Amen.
Not only is he all-powerful, but he's all-knowing.
Right.
The word is omniscient. What that means is God doesn't need a computer with Google access. He doesn't have to Google to get the answers. He knows the answers.
Amen.
Understand? He doesn't have to have encyclopedias on his shelf. God knows everything already.
Amen.
And not only is he omnipotent and omniscient, all-powerful and all-knowing, but he's also omnipresent, meaning he is always present. That is, there is no hole that you can fall into that is so deep that when you hit bottom, God is not already there. Amen. And no matter how much of a hole that you've fallen into, I mean holes that are so deep that you could not in 1,000 lifetimes extricate yourself from that hole. But God is there, and He's able to help us and to enable us and to get us up out of it. I'm talking about God who is bigger than the presidents, bigger than the kings, bigger than the Supreme Court, bigger than all of the big shots. I'm talking about God who is big. There will be folks who will stumble around on this. And I remind you that God has said twice, Psalm 14:1 and 53:1. God said, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." And so you and I ought to be careful not to play the fool and not to do that which would be foolish. Jesus said, trouble may come. But what He's telling us that even though trouble overtakes us, it should not overwhelm us. And it should not, because, number one, you do believe in God. Second thing He said was, we've placed our trust in Jesus. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. So whenever you and I consider the fact that we've believed, we do believe in the great Almighty, and we have put our trust in His Son, who was crucified and risen and ascended, sits on the right hand of the Father on high, and He is there for a purpose and a reason. He did all of that with design. Here you and I are laden with a sin debt that we could never pay. In 1,000 lifetimes we could not pay it, but we got ourselves a divine bailout. Amen.
Amen.
You talk about a stimulus package, I got one.
Amen.
Saw myself a sinner, condemned and hell-bound, and we drew on the bank of heaven. And by the way, no matter how much your sin debt, you'll not create a deficit in heaven whenever you draw on heaven's account.
Amen.
You'll not put a strain on God's budget when you do that.
Right.
No, sirree. You and I have placed our trust in the crucified and risen Christ.
Amen.
Do you know? The only way to go to heaven is to put your trust in Christ.
Amen.
I mean, even if you could leap tall buildings with a single bound, even if you could swim across the widest rivers and not be out of breath when you finished. I mean, even if you could do all of the good that was to be done and you were constantly consumed with the doing of good and you get up every morning and just say, I will do good and I will do good and I will do good. You could do all of that and still miss heaven because doing good never gets anybody there. You say, don't you think folks ought to do good? If they're saved and on their way to heaven, I think they will just splash around and do good without having to even think about it.
Amen.
But the fact is, you cannot by doing good pay your sin debt and get yourself to heaven. It's necessary to put trust in specifically the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nobody gets saved without that information. And so we need to make that clear. And so in the midst of a world where it seems like that we're getting a can of crazy opened up first thing every morning, I mean, you say, what is going to happen next? I don't know what's going to happen next. But what I do know is, number one, I believe in God. Number two, I place my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this passage says, we ought not to have the troubled heart because we have been given God's eternal word. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. That is, in an indirect manner, He is saying to us here, when I tell you something, take it to the bank, make the deposit, you can count on it because what I'm telling you is true. I'm glad that when I stand in front of you this morning, I do not bring up here a copy of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. I'm glad that I do not bring up here this morning a copy of Wild Bill Shakespeare's King Lear. I'm glad that I do not bring up here in front of you this morning one of the classic books of some kind, but I bring up here in front of me this morning the book that is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God preserved for us. We have it in front of us here this morning so we can look at it, and everything that it says from the top of the chapter in Genesis 1 to the very end of the chapter in Revelation 22. I mean, every single bit of it. God has given us His Word to counsel and to comfort and to coach us along the way. I love the piece we teach the children. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
Amen.
Some years ago, Betty and I met an old gentleman, dear old country fella, and I raised the question with him about his salvation, and then I continued the conversation, probing just a little bit with him. And I said to him, I said, sir, I said, do you believe the Bible is true? Never shall I forget his response to me. He said, from lid to lid. Now, you and I would say from cover to cover. But it was his little unique way of saying he believed everything that was in the book. From lid to lid, he said. Now, the fact is, you and I need to be lid to lid believers.
Amen.
Cover to cover. And when we are, it does something to help us.
Right.
Not only that, but you and I can deal with the world where we are and live in the place where we are because the promises of God are everlastingly true. Everlastingly true. You know, just yesterday I sat down and scratched out an answer to, I think, at least three, maybe four different people who had written me a note challenging me, kind of chiding me for believing that what we have in Christ is everlastingly true. And you know, they say, in every case, it's always this way. Well, I know people, they profess to believe something, but they're out here living in the world. They're living like a dog on Saturday night and setting up proper and looking sanctimonious on Sunday morning. And every time it's what I see and what I see and what I see. Now, let me tell you what I want you to see. I want you to see what's in this book. And God's Word is true however people misbehave. Whatever they do, whatever they stretch out of shape, and whatever people do that doesn't come out right. I'm telling you, I do not set my theology and my doctrine and my teaching and what I believe based on what Johnny and Susie are doing out here in the world.
Amen.
I base what I believe and what the truth is what God has said, no matter how bad men mess it up. So you and I don't develop or undevelop some idea about whether we think we're saved and secure or not based on somebody who didn't pan out right. They came and they got said they were saved and got baptized and joined the church, and 3 months later, you know, they went and did something crazy. We don't develop our theology based on that. We build what we believe out of the truths that are everlastingly so. They are true. And what God has given to us, I use that word again, everlastingly, we can count on it. It's not a Monday, Wednesday, Friday assurance that God gives us. It's not just in the winter months, but it's 24/7. I mean, God's goodness is leap year solid. I mean, even February 29th is included, amen.
Amen.
You know, you say, well, I was doing real good, and then I messed up, and I had this go wrong, and I know I didn't do right here. I'm telling you, if you're saved, you're in the family of God.
Amen.
Betty and I raised two kids. And they've turned out to be a tremendous blessing to us. And we're grateful for them. But as they were growing up, they didn't always do exactly what we thought they should. In fact, every once in a while now, they arch an eyebrow the wrong way, according to what we think, see. But you know how it is with your children. I mean, if somebody right now stands up and tells me that you had children who never misbehaved and never disobeyed or whatever, if you stand up and tell me that, I'm not going to blink an eye. I'm going to call you a liar right on the spot. Because I think you're getting kids the same place we got them. It's out of the human race. Amen? By the way, same place we get church members, amen? Out of the human race. You're looking for a perfect church, we're not going to let you join. You'd spoil it, even if we had it, which we don't. Now, but what I'm saying is when our kids, when they were growing up, they did something that disappointed us or whatever, we didn't throw them out in the backyard and say, hey, you're not our kids anymore. Do you think I'm a better parent than God is? Do you think my family is superior to God's family? I don't think so. I mean, Betty and I think we got a pretty good family. I mean, we've spent 800 years just building and working and trying to get it right. But I'm telling you, we don't hold a candle to how God knows how to do it. Amen. And when God's children misbehave, He doesn't throw them out of the family. Now, God's promises are everlastingly true. Now, there's another thing to be made from this chapter. You and I ought to also not let the trouble us and get the untroubled heart and get balky about all of this, because verse number 3 says that Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Right in the middle of the verse it says, I will come again. I love it where the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
I love it. Amen. He who was born in Bethlehem lived a sinless life, healed the blind and raised the dead, died on the cross, rose from the grave, ascended up to heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father, and one of these days, when the trumpet sounds, he's going to slip out of heaven and come back to do exactly what that passage says that he will do. You and I ought to be encouraged by the fact that he's coming again one day. A couple of weeks after my dad was dead and buried, Betty and I were up to Western Kentucky again, and I went down to the grave site where we had buried my dad, and there's a good number of people in that cemetery that I know, a number of other family members, and people that I've known, even some people that I was in school with when I was growing up, that are buried in that cemetery. You walk around in a place like that and you think about, in fact, one of the pastors that I was acquainted with in my childhood is buried in that cemetery. You think about when the trumpet blows, those precious saints of God come barreling out of those holes in the ground, rising up to meet Jesus in the air. And if we happen to be alive when that happens, just in a flash, we're going to be in the second load going right behind them. Amen. I'm telling you, we can make all kinds of ado about the shuttle going off, and we ought to. And every time we get on an airplane like Betty and I are planning to do in the morning and fly back to Nashville, I mean, I've flown and flown and flown, 2 million miles in the last 15 years. And every time one of those birds take off, I'm saying to myself, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's going to fly. It's going to fly. All of this weight and all of these people, and it flies. I'm amazed at all of that. I'm even more amazed we can get it back down, amen. But contemplate for a moment when Jesus comes. Some of these precious saints that are buried in that cemetery at Double Springs have been there 200 years. Their bodies long since have deteriorated, and nothing there but the DNA in that hole in the ground. I'm telling you, God knows how to find every single piece of it. Reassemble it. He who spoke worlds into existence will call it all together. You and I ought to be stirred by the fact that Jesus is coming again. Notice also this passage says that you and I are going to get to move in with Jesus forever. Where I am, there you may be also. Contemplate being personally present with Jesus forever in heaven, that city whose builder and maker is God. That city is our home of the future.
Amen.
You know, Betty and I will have guests once in a while come to see us. You know, when folks come to visit with you, they usually make you glad twice. You're glad to see them come. You're glad to see them go. A night or two, and you're glad to see them go. Now, the reason for that is, you know, no roof is big enough to permanently house two families, I think. So we're glad to see them. I mean, we love them, but we're glad to see them go. But the fact is, you and I, as the sons and daughters of God, we're going to get to move in God's house.
Amen.
The big house. We're going to get to move in that city that the Lord says, I am preparing for you that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Wow. And then one other thing to note here. The Lord has made salvation available and affordable and accessible for all of us. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Now the deal is, you can try to buy your way, you can try to work your way, you can try to navigate through religious waters to get your way, and none of it's going to get anybody to heaven, not even one time. But Jesus made arrangements when he died on the cross and arose from the grave. He made arrangements that will get not just me and not just get a few of us, but that will get any and all of us to heaven if we'll trust him.
Amen.
I want you to know that the salvation that Jesus offers is available and affordable and accessible. Sometimes she and I will go maybe to Walmart or to Kmart or someplace, and we're looking for something. And we look on the shelves and it's not there. And then we ask somebody, they say, oh, you know, no, we don't have that. Well, but isn't it something? I mean, don't they make, well, yes, I hear that, but it's not available. So we go out of the store disappointed because even though somebody somewhere has it, it's not available to us. There are other times we go in that same store and we look around and sure enough, there it is. It's on the shelf. It's available. But then we look at the price tag. I mean, Betty's got credit cards this big. I look at them. But we can't do it. And we say, well, it's available, but it's not affordable. We're going to have to not do that. We'll have to wait. We can't do it because we can't afford it. Now, hang on with me here. When it comes to your salvation, my salvation, it's always available. The shelf is never empty.
Amen.
And not only is it on the shelf and available, but it's always affordable.
Amen.
Because the Savior already paid for it. So we can have it. So you'll never have to go rummaging through your pockets and looking to see if you got another check that's got money in the bank. You'll never have to see if your credit card's over its limits. None of that. No, 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 no. It's available and it's affordable. Sometimes we've gone to that store and we got up and got right to the door, and all at once we looked and there's bars across the windows and there's a chain on the door and a lock. And we can see through the window, it's available, and we got the money. We know we can pay for it. It's affordable, but it's not accessible to us. We can't get to it. What I want you to know is the salvation that Jesus provided when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus did that, he not only made salvation available, so it's there. The shelf is full. And it's available, already paid for, so every one of us can have it. But it's so accessible, you could get it out on the street if you wanted to get it there. You could get it, I mean, kneeling by your own bedside, you could get it there. I mean, if you're laying over here in the hospital emergency room about to die and you still got your mind working, you could get it there.
Amen.
And you can get it at the church as well.
Amen.
You can get it. It is accessible. There's no bars on the window. Now, understand when Jesus said this to his disciples, it was big. And it's big to us. as well. I love the passage. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, how? We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Let's bow our heads together and we'll pray. I thank you for listening so attentively. And I want to encourage you to take note of the things that we've given today. If you're not sure that you're saved, I want to help you with that today. Could it be that some of us have come this far, we've come this far in our life, and we don't know for sure that we've got salvation settled? I want to pray for you in just a moment. There may be folks who ought to join this good church, plant your life here, make this your church home. You're saved and baptized, or you're willing to be. And you would like to make this your church home. I'm going to ask you to ask God if this might be what you ought to do. Others of you who come here all the time, maybe the Lord's spoken to your heart this morning, and you just need, for whatever reason, to find your way to this altar and talk to God, nail some things down, get some things in place. Before I pray, would everybody stand with me, please, all over the place? Everybody stand together for prayer. With our heads bowed now and eyes closed, I wonder, before I pray, if somebody would just say, I'm not sure that I have this salvation matter settled. And if you're going to pray for folks, please pray for me. I'm glad it's available. I'm glad it's affordable. I'm glad it's accessible. But I don't have it. And if you're going to pray, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up for just a second for me to see it? Pastor's looking as well. You'd slip your hand up to say, pray for me. God bless you. Yes, in the back as well. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Are there folks contemplating joining the church here? And you'd say, pray for me, pray for me. Looking for a church home? Pray for me. Anybody? Anybody? Well, dear Lord, I do pray for these, a couple of folks who have lifted their hand in need of salvation. Lord, I pray, help them to know that on this day, they could mark this as their spiritual birthday by coming and placing their faith and trust in the crucified and risen Christ. Help them to know that he who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, had them in mind when he said it. Dear Lord, help us to know. Help us to know that we are special objects of your love, and you do want to save us, forgive us, and reserve a place for us in heaven when we die. I pray that you'll do a mighty work today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, I've Decided to Follow Jesus.